And good afternoon, GRN listeners across the South and Central Texas listening area. This is your live, this is your local program, this is In His Vineyard. I'm Gordy Zambrano, your general manager for the Guadalupe Radio Network South and Central Texas listening area. You can hear this program, as you know, every Monday at noon right here on your local GRN station, online at grnonline.com, or of course on the free Guadalupe Radio Network app. You can also join our Facebook page at GRN South and Central TX. Go there so you can see where we're going, who's going to be on the show, all the things that we're doing here at the Guadalupe Radio Network. Want to thank everyone tuning in from Marble Falls, Fredericksburg, Kerrville, Uvalde, and of course, right here in San Antonio. We're grateful that you have decided to spend this hour joining us and getting caught up on all things Catholic in South and Central Texas. On this program, as you know, we try to bring you a variety of informative discussions highlighting different people, ministries, and events going on in the Archdiocese of San Antonio and parts of the Diocese of Austin. On today's program, for the full hour, you're going to want to listen the whole hour because I got Alan Ames in the studio, and it's going to be a wonderful conversation. He's a visionary, a mystic, and through our Lord and Savior, God Almighty has the gift of healing. He's an author of over 20 books. He just signed his recent book for me here, For the Love of God, and so I'll be reading that. He's coming to us from Perth, Australia, so he's come a long way to be here. We're going to give you all the parishes that he is going to be speaking at. He's going to have, of course, they're going to have Mass, and then he's going to have a talk and a healing. And I'll tell you, once you hear this program, by the end, you're going to want to go to one of these Masses. And I'll tell you tonight, he's at St. Anthony Mary Claret, and that's going to begin at 7 p.m. with Mass, and he's going to have a talk and a healing. So that's tonight, St. Anthony Mary Claret. But we'll give you the rest of the schedule. And just to let you know, if you want to see where Alan's going to be, alanames.org, Alan, A-L-A-N-A-M-E-S.org. Go there. There's a full schedule. I've got it right here in front of me. This is the third year that I've had Alan on the program. Started in 24 and then 25 and now 26. I love it. Alan's sitting here, and also have in studio Dr. Ray Lopez, our own Dr. Ray Lopez here in studio. He's got questions too. And he brought his lovely wife Stella on the program, who afterward is going to get a healing from Alan Ames. So, but, before we begin all that, let's start the way we do all things at the Guadalupe Radio Network. And that's in prayer. Remember, we want to pray for Archbishop Gustavo, Bishop Garionic, Bishop Arturo Cepeda, also Bishop Michael Boulette, our priests, our deacons, seminarians, nuns, religious, and our country. Of course, our country needs prayers, and so we want to, and our first responders, let's not forget about them, and let's pray for all of those students. There's still spring breaking out there, and so there's a lot of people traveling. Let's pray for them. And ask God to reveal his will to us. So let's start in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear God, may everything we do begin with your inspiration, continue with your help, and reach perfection under your guidance. With your loving care, lead all of us in our daily actions. Help us to persevere in love and sincerity. Bless us with an abundance of courage in proclaiming your holy name and the teachings of your church. Grant us the grace to do your will in loving obedience. Heavenly Father, keep us under your constant protection and draw us, our families, and our loved ones ever closer to you. We ask all this through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We are now in the fourth week of Lent. And so, I know good Catholics out there are fasting, they're praying, they're almsgiving, good works. Easter Sunday is coming up April 5th, and on that day he will have risen and it will be done. And so we're all looking forward to that. The 40 days leading up, it's so beautiful, and to be in the fourth week of Lent is absolutely beautiful. Yesterday's homily at Blessed Sacrament, where I went to church yesterday, and Deacon Paul Carden has had a very nice homily, and, you know, talked about the blind man who could see. You know, Jesus healed him, you know, put some mud in his eyes, and boy, what a great message. And so we want to, you know, wish everybody a very peaceful and very successful Lent as you're out there fasting. Don't forget, Spring Share-a-thon is coming up. Man, I can't believe it is just a week away. And so March 23rd through the 27th, our Spring Share-a-thon will be in full force Monday through Friday. Our theme is the Great Reset of 2026, resetting our minds in the heart of Christ. And don't all of us need to do that every once in a while? Do a good reset. And, you know, at that time, during that week, we're going to ask you to call in with your one-time or your monthly donation of support. Of course, to keep Catholic Radio on the air, we do this four times a year. And this share-a-thon should be a very successful one. I look forward to the spring when it kicks everything off. And I'm looking forward to it, looking forward to being on the air twice a day and bringing some enthusiasm to the hours that I will be on. So if you can, you're going to want to dial that number, 800-476-3311. It's in my head. And at that time, you can dial that number and make your one-time or monthly pledge of support. And if you want to make a pledge, you can always call me. You can find me on grnonline.com, and or you can send me an email at gordon@grnonline.com. And lastly, the 19th annual Fishers of Men Dinner. My Fishers of Men Dinner is coming up, Ray. I can't believe it. April 9th, that's a Thursday. It's going to be over at Holy Trinity Banquet Hall. My keynote is Matthew Leonard. And I tell you what, he is going to hit it out of the park, because our theme is the art of living like a Catholic. And if you've listened to Matthew Leonard, if you haven't, go into YouTube, just Google his name, Matthew Leonard. He's got so many talks on the science of sainthood, and it's going to be an incredible night. Father Carlos Velasquez. That's Ray's parish down at the cathedral, San Fernando Cathedral. He's going to be my honoree. So to purchase your tickets, simply go into grnonline.com/events, click on South and Central TX, and there you can safely, securely purchase your tickets or tables. Tables at 10, 1500. They start at 1500. So with that said.
Gordon, I just want to point out, those Fishers of Men dinners, really nice dinners. I think you said you went and did a taste testing of the food and it was outstanding. So it is, you know, these are not, you know, shabby, you know, events. This is top notch, great food, great entertainment, great venue. So please join us for the Fishers of Men this year.
If you like a great steak, a great ribeye with some cowboy sauce on there, with some caramelized carrots and green beans and some mashed potatoes. Oh, you're going to love it. And the desserts we picked out are phenomenal. We're starting off, though, with a wedge salad with great ranch dressing, some bacon. So you're going to want to purchase those tickets to be there.
Absolutely.
And you know what I was thinking about? It's cheaper than going to, you know, a steakhouse.
Absolutely.
And you get to hear a great speaker in Matthew Leonard. So want to urge everybody, you know, we're getting close, so we want to make sure those tickets and table purchases come in. If you're out there and you've committed, now's the time to do it. So I've reached the 8-minute mark, and I want to bring in my wonderful, wonderful guest, Alan Ames. Alan, welcome to In His Vineyard. It's good to have you here.
Thank you for having me back. I appreciate it.
You know, Alan, it's always a pleasure to have you on the program. And, you know, you do this tour. You come to San Antonio and you go to, it's 8 nights, 8 masses. You just completed a mass last night at Our Lady of Lourdes Grotto in here in San Antonio over at the Oblate.
Yes.
And how did that go?
It was great. I mean, it's 28 years I've been coming here now. I think Bob brought me 28 years ago.
Yeah.
Wow. And I've picked up the Texas accent, and I sound just like one of you now. But no, it was great at the Oblates. We had despite the hot weather, we had a very large crowd of people, and the priests were very supportive. They said mass, heard confessions, some great healings, and we were told about one healing that happened in the Oblate Grotto last year when I was here. The man who had a deformed foot, it was all twisted and out of shape. Uh-huh. He was healed immediately last year of that, and it's been a year now, and it's still wonderful.
Wow.
So thank God for that.
And that's so beautiful because, you know, as we're speaking, you know, you have the gift that, that God gave you. You're a vessel. He goes through you for healing. And tell our listeners out there a little bit about yourself. There might be one or two people who are just hearing the name Alan Ames, even though you've been coming here 28 years. But tell a little bit about yourself and, you know, how this gift came about.
Well, first of all, I've got to say to you, it's the biggest surprise in my life that God would use someone like me to heal people. And I always encourage people to remember it's not me, it's God that heals.
Right.
And that any faithful person that will pray for healing and trust completely in God, God will work through them as he works through me to heal and convert others. So everything is from God, and all glory is his. All I do is I'm a sinful vessel that's so ashamed of myself in front of God, and yet he continues to pour out the grace in my life to bless others. And I thank him every day for that when I see lives changed and people healed. And, you know, I was a person who didn't believe in God. I was brought up in a poor area of London in England. I was extremely violent, addicted to many things. Didn't go to church or pray, even though my mother, an Irish Catholic, and my dad was a Catholic as well. She tried to bring me up in the faith. I just didn't believe. I just lived for myself and the things of the world. How stupid I was at that time. Wish I'd known what I know now.
Yeah.
But, you know, God...
been there.
God, despite my weaknesses and failures and my sinful life, opened his heart to me in love and changed my life completely when I was at 40 years of age. And he began appearing and speaking to me, as did angels and saints. Mm-hmm. But what he showed in that, when he came to someone like me, who is the lowest of the low, I truly am, the most sinful person you could imagine, he shows that his love is for everyone. That it doesn't matter who you are, what you've done. If you just accept his love, he'll change your life and he'll bring you to a good life and a holy life in him. And that's what he's done to me. From that moment when he embraced me in his love, he started to lift me out of the darkness I was in into the light of his love. And every day now for, it's been 32 years since it happened, has been a wonderful blessing because I feel his love every day. I experience his love. I experience him every day as he opens his heart to me. Yet, you know, there are still crosses because it doesn't change. When, you know, when God comes to your life, you know, things are wonderful, but still there's crosses. And what happens in our life and in our faith is there's times of light and there's times of darkness.
Right.
And in the times of light, that's when we feel close to God and full of his love and full of the joy and the happiness that comes with that. But then in this journey of life, there's like the valleys of darkness, and you go into those, and at times God can feel so far away, so distant. You're not experiencing him in his life. You feel so miserable. Everything in life and the world is wearing you down. You can get depressed. But then if you keep reaching out to God in those times, reach out to him, he'll bring you back into that divine light. But it's a journey of up and down,
right?
Light and darkness. And I often say to people, because there are many depressed people out there, they seem to be in this darkness and trapped in it.
Sure.
And some of them, sadly, at times get led into things like suicide. I say, I know it's hard, and I know it's difficult, and God is with you even though you don't understand that, and he's helping you as much as you'll allow him. So he's reaching out to you in every moment because he loves you. And he doesn't want you to be sad or depressed or unhappy. He wants you to be happy, joyful, full of his joy. Mm-hmm. And so I say to them, every day, if you can, just say a little prayer to the Lord, to Lord Jesus, fill me with your joy in this day. And keep saying it, persevere. And eventually, gradually, you'll start to feel that joy. And it'll lift you slowly but surely out of that darkness and into the divine light, which is the joyful love of God.
You know, and I just read, I can't remember where I read this. A saint is a sinner who keeps trying. Yeah. A saint is a sinner who keeps trying. And Alan, you know, God gave you this gift of faith, right? And when did you know When did you know? Was it when you were in that church that you grew up going to and you stole from and you went back there and the Virgin Mother appeared to you? When did you know you had this gift?
Oh, yeah, no, there was many things that happened. But as Jesus began appearing and speaking to me, he said, I want you to go out and speak to people about my love for everyone. It's not just for you, it's for everyone. And you should share it as all the people who love God, love Jesus, that share his love and his message of love with everyone they meet. But he also said to me, I want you to start praying for healing. And I thought, well, who am I? You know, he said, yeah. Well, it's not you that will heal. It'll be me that will heal through you. So some talks were arranged in my local archdiocese in Perth, Australia. And I started going out and talking and praying for healing, and nothing happened. And I was just going on for months, and I kept praying for healing, and nothing happened.
Yeah.
And I said to the Lord, I said, oh Lord, I said, I'm doing this, nothing's happening. He said, keep doing it. I said, well, maybe it's my pride telling me that this myself rather than you telling me.
Yeah.
He said, no, persevere. So I kept doing it, nothing was happening. And then after a struggle of about 6 or 8 months where I was starting to doubt in myself, thinking maybe I made this up in my mind.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, one night when I prayed over people, and it was actually the parish that was my spiritual director now, it was his parish at the time, I started praying over people. And at that night, there was, 600 or 700 people there. Wow. And about 650 of them fell down on the ground. I couldn't believe it. They were slain in the spirit.
My goodness.
I was in shock. I thought, wow, this is incredible. You know, yeah. All these people lying on the floor. And they were filled with joy. And the people, there was a cripple healed, a blind person saw, the cancer's cured. There were so many healings that night. It's just incredible.
Wow.
And my current spiritual director, his sister was actually healed of something on that night as well. And so I said to Lord Jesus, I said, when he was next speaking to me then after the talk, I said, that was wonderful, Lord. Thank you for that. But why didn't it happen before? He said, well, I wanted your perseverance. I wanted you to show that you completely trusted in me, even when nothing was happening, that you believed what I was saying to you and that you persevered. And that perseverance in itself is a powerful prayer of love. And it shows the depth of your trust in me. And he said, but even though you were doubting, you weren't doubting me, you were doubting yourself. You were thinking maybe you were saying this, but, you know, you were always hoping that it was me that was saying this and you were trusting in me. And he said, if you keep doing that, keep trusting in me, keep believing in me, many wonderful things, many miracles will happen. All I call for is your perseverance in loving me.
Wow.
You know, and now, you know, after 30 years of doing this, and it's it can be tiring and difficult work.
Yeah.
I always remember that when the Lord calls to perseverance, and I think, yeah, I have to keep persevering. It shows how much I love and trust God by the perseverance.
If you think about it, that's the only way to demonstrate your perseverance is what he exposed you to. That's the only way. If you think about it, yeah, that's incredible. That's incredible.
Because often many people, they'll give up. They think nothing's happening.
Right.
But if you just look beyond that, and especially in those dark times when you think nothing's happening, God's not with you. If you look beyond that and keep looking to him and trusting in him, then eventually you'll experience him and his love, and he'll draw you through that.
You know, that's exactly what I needed to hear today. I'm going through a pretty dark time in my life right now. That was what your opening statement was like. It was like aimed personally at me.
You know, and I was just talking to Matthew Leonard. He was on the program last week, and he said that dark, that period where you don't hear anything, that's actually God trying to get closer to you. And like he said, you've got to respond. You've got to react to him and not give up. It's about perseverance.
Well, when you start to give up is when you start to focus on yourself and not focus on God. Focus on self, you give up.
Well, Alan, we got to go to a break here. Everyone sit tight. We're speaking with Alan Ames. And so sit tight. We'll be right back in just a second. Go Gordy Zambrano here, inviting all men and women to our 2026 Fishers of Men Dinner to be held on Thursday, April 9th at Holy Trinity Catholic Church Banquet Hall. Come enjoy a delicious steak dinner and an incredible talk by Matthew Leonard. Our honoree is Father Carlos Velasquez from San Fernando Cathedral. To purchase your tickets or sponsor a table, go to grnonline.com, click on the events tab, and go to 2025 South and Central Fishers of Men. See you there.
Catholic Radio gives us something all day, every day, to fill our lives with our faith. We are completely inundated by the world constantly. Every time you go out shopping, the music that's playing, the visuals that you see, TV, everything. We need Catholicism filling our minds.
The Guadalupe Radio Network, radio for your soul.
The 2026 Spring Share-a-thon is right around the corner, and our theme is the Great Reset of 26, resetting our minds in the heart of Christ. Starting Monday, March 23rd through Friday, March 27th, we'll be on the air asking for your financial support. We humbly ask that you call in at that time to make your one-time donation or monthly pledge of support. We're grateful for your generosity and pray the Lord abundantly blesses you.
Alan Ames will be back in San Antonio from March 15th through the 22nd. Alan has traveled the world, sharing his inspiring conversion story and powerful healing ministry. Alan's conversion experience has caused a dramatic change in his life, from a violent alcoholic to a man of the sacraments and prayer. For additional information on Alan's ministry or which parishes he will be visiting, visit alanames.org. That's Alan, A-M-E-S.org.
And welcome back, everyone. What an hour we are having, and I'm so glad that you decided to tune in. We're excited that you are listening in because Alan Ames is here in San Antonio. Can't get any better than that. And Alan, as you know, has been doing this 32 years, or maybe you don't know. I just made the comment, 32 years, Alan, in 50 countries and on six continents. That's a lot of traveling, and that's a lot of healing. Yeah. And he is here in San Antonio, and Bob brings him in, you know, into San Antonio. And it's a blessing that Bob does that and coordinates it, because he is going to be at eight parishes. He already marked one off the list last night at Our Lady of Lourdes in the Grotto. And tonight he's at St. Anthony Mary Claret. I want to keep mentioning that, because if you're out there and you're like, where can I go see Alan? Where can I receive a healing? St. Anthony Mary Claret is tonight, 7 o'clock mass, followed by a talk and then a healing. So you want to get out there to 6150 Roft Road. St. Anthony Mary Claret is a beautiful parish. It's huge. And then tomorrow, I just met with Father Ross over at Father Gregory Ross at the Basilica of the National Shrine of the Little Flower. Alan's going to be there tomorrow, March 17th at 6 p.m. So 6 o'clock mass, followed by a talk, and then a healing. And then on Wednesday at 6 p.m., he'll be at St. Jerome Catholic Church out on Real Road. Love St. Jerome. Mama Gina's out there. And that's one of we love going out to St. Jerome. So I'll give you the rest of the schedule as we're going. But tonight, don't forget St. Anthony Mary Claret at 7 o'clock. So, Alan, let's get back to what we were talking about. One of the things that, you know, I've read about you is your devotion and your extreme love to our Blessed Mother, and her intercession, and how she spoke to you, and she still speaks to you today. Am I right?
Oh, yes, she does. Yeah, it's she's most wonderful. She's my mum. She really is, and she treats me like a child. And she, same with everyone. She sees us as her children, because we are, by God's grace.
Yeah.
And you know, I never knew how early she'd come into my life and been with me until she started appearing and speaking to me. But when I was young, and I was 15 years of age, and at that time it was a dark part of my life, and I didn't pray or anything, I was very sick, and I was falling into a coma. And as I was going into the coma, I started praying the rosary. Now, I'd never prayed that, and I'd only heard my mum pray it, and I never wanted to pray it. I started praying the rosary, and I just kept praying it and praying it as I slipped into the coma. And when they eventually brought me round, they said, it was miraculous. We were giving you the wrong treatment. If we'd continued, you would have died. She said, but we sent the blood tests off, and, you know, that was in countryside of Ireland. And at that time, it would have taken, you know, the next day to get the results.
Right.
But they came back in about an hour and a half, and they couldn't believe it. They said it was miraculous. Wow. And they said, we gave you the right medicine, and you were saved. And I realised it was the rosary I was praying. Our Blessed Mother had been there, and she'd made that happen. Wow. And so I thank Mum for that. It's wonderful.
Wow. That's a beautiful story. You've received your own healing through divine intervention.
Yeah. And through the intercession of our Blessed Mother. Absolutely. That's what she wants to do, is to intercede for all of us. She wants to lead each one of us closer and closer to God, deeper into the heart of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, so that with her we can unite in love, in praising, in worshipping, in adoring God. That's all she wants to do. She doesn't want any glory for herself. And even though people focus on her because God allows her to appear and speak to us, and it's a wonderful blessing, in all of those appearances and in everything she says, she wants to lead us to God, not to herself, but to God. Yeah. And she always reminds me that. She says, whenever you're praying the Hail Marys, praying the Rosary, or you're talking to me, always remember everything comes from God. All the grace, all the love, all the gifts. Mm-hmm. Even I, Mary, your mother, I come from God. I'm a gift of God. Never forget that. So I try not to.
Wow. That is profound. And the thing about, you know, the rosary, she gave us the rosary, and it is a weapon. Do you, Alan Ames, still get attacked?
Oh, gee.
I know the answer to it, but.
It never stops. From the day God came into my life, and to today, and actually at this last year or so, it's been particularly difficult, but it never stops, because the closer you come to God, or the more if you try and work for God and spread his love, then the evil one's there. He's going to try and stop you, him and his minions. Yeah. And so they do everything they can. They give you heavy crosses, many struggles, everything they can. But the Lord said to me from the beginning, when Jesus appeared to me, he said, it's never going to be easy. It's going to be difficult. There's going to be many crosses. Will you carry them for me? And I was, you know, in ecstasy at that time when he spoke to me. And I said, yes, Lord, anything you want. Yeah. And I still say that. But then afterwards, I started to think, gee, did I invite too much into my life?
What did I just commit to?
Yeah. But there's been many heavy crosses. Yeah. But the wonderful thing is, with the crosses, you can offer them for the salvation of souls. And that's what the evil one hates. So whenever I'm given a cross, I say, Lord, help me carry this cross. I can't do it by myself. I'm too weak. I'm too fragile. But you give me the grace to carry this cross for the salvation of souls. Save souls, Lord. Save souls. And then and when you start to see and realize what's happening, which by the grace of God I have, and see the souls that are being saved, you can't help but cry out, give me more crosses. Give me more, so more souls can be saved. And of course, God does. But then, you know, the heavier they get, the more grace he gives you.
Right.
And sometimes you feel like you're breaking and you can't carry on. And it's in those moments I cry out, Lord, even then I say, Lord, give me more, Lord, give me more. Just if one soul can be saved, give me more. And at times he shows me the souls that are being saved. And he said, they're going to thank you in heaven one day. And so it gives you the strength to persevere. But also when the crosses come, I look to Jesus and see his suffering, and I realise no matter how bad it is for me or how difficult it is for me, his was far worse. It was like beyond anything, any cross I could ever carry. And he did all of that for love of me, for love of you, for love of everyone, just because he loves us. He carried all our pain, our hurt, our suffering. He carried all the crosses that we carry, every one of us in the world and throughout time. He carried all of that. And we, you know, at times we feel sorry for ourselves carrying our crosses and forgetting that Jesus is carrying all of our crosses, and his suffering was way beyond anything we could imagine. And when I see that and think of that, I just can't stop thanking him and saying, Lord, give me more, Lord, save souls.
And he's such a merciful God. I mean, you asked him, hey, Lord, send me to hell for 3 hours. I've been so bad. Send me to hell. Do you remember that?
Yeah,
he didn't.
Yeah, but I also said to him once, Lord, if it will save souls, send me to hell instead of sending other souls to hell.
Wow.
And more than once I've said that to him. Having seen the suffering in hell, I want no one to go there. And I feel so sad when I hear Catholics and other people saying, go to hell to people, or I wish that person would go to hell, or God should send him to hell.
Oh, it's terrible.
As Catholics, we should be forgiving, as Jesus is forgiving. We should want no one, not even the worst sinner, to go to hell. I pray every day to God that the worst sinners in the world will not be sent to hell, but be in his merciful love, they'll be saved. He'll show compassion and love to them and forgive them and not send them to hell.
Alan, you've had a vision of hell?
Yes, I've been there.
Oh, my goodness. Could you talk about that a little bit? What did you see?
I'm not allowed to by the church. All I can tell you is I've been there, I've seen it.
And it's really bad.
You can't imagine.
Okay, that's all I need to know.
People say there's hell on earth. There's not.
Nothing compared to what's...
There's not. Believe me, there's not.
Wow. You know, and the thing I want to ask is, you know, when people sell their soul, okay, we see that a lot. We see it in the media. We see it, it's terrible. But when they sell their soul to down there, does that really happen?
Sadly, it does. Of course, the Lord is very compassionate. And many of these people don't realize what they're doing when they do that.
Right.
And God understands that. And sometimes they're people who have maybe got mental problems or addicted to drugs or different things. And so that's all taken into account. But even so, there are some who do it willingly and knowingly. And I still pray to God, please, Lord, forgive them. But, you know, I had another experience. Well, it's actually in this book, For the Love of God, which is full of experiences I've had with the Lord. This was before God came into my life. And again, when I was young, I was in London at the time. And at first I thought it was imagining. It was only later I realised that it really happened. I saw Satan before me. And he said to me, I'll give you all the money that you want, all the fame and all the women that you want in your life, everything you want, if you'll give me your soul.
At
that moment, I saw a woman, a very attractive woman, dressed in very attractive clothing, coming down a stairway, walking down a stairway towards me. He said, you can have all the women you want, all the money, everything. Just give me your soul. And even at that time, even though I didn't know God, from deep inside of me, I just cried out, no, never. It just came from within me. And then it disappeared. And I often thought about that. And it was only later when God came into my life, I realized that was really happening. That was truly happening.
My goodness.
But thank God, by his grace, I said no.
My goodness.
Thank you, Lord. Yes. We need you here now. We, that is so scary. So, you know, when folks out there are listening, they're listening right now, do they need to be in a state of grace? Do they need to be, you know, go to confession? I mean, confession is so important. Reconciliation.
Don't they have confession at the masses that you're at, Alan?
Yeah, at every talk, there's usually 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 priests hearing confessions because it's so important that you have your soul purified, sanctified by the Holy Spirit through the priest in that wonderful sacrament. Because when we hold on to sin, we're holding on to evil and we're actually rejecting God even with the smallest sin. When we don't turn to God and confess those sins and hold on to them, we're stopping him filling us completely with his grace, because in holding on to that sin, in that area of our soul, our lives, we're saying, no, God, I don't want you. And so it's so important, if we want to be filled with grace, that we have a good, a strong, a holy confession. And I always encourage people to go, because it's also, it's very powerful for healing. Because once you confess all of your sins and your soul is purified, it's sanctified, it's healed, once you do that, it's natural that other healing would follow. And it's like in Holy Scripture, when Jesus said to the man, your sins are forgiven, pick up your bed and walk. In the sacrament of confession, the Lord, through the priest, is saying to the person, when they've had a good confession and confessed everything, your sins are forgiven, pick up your bed and walk. And that's why there are so many healings through confession. When you have a true confession, hold nothing back. There's the Lord reaching out through the priest saying, your sins are forgiven, pick up your bed and walk, and you can be healed in confession. And I've heard that so many times, of wonderful healings in that great sacrament.
You know, the other thing I wanted to touch on, and we've talked about our Blessed Mother, God Almighty, Lord Jesus Christ, the saints. We ask the saints for intercession, right, to help us. Now, you've been visited by St. Stephen, St. Matthew, St. Andrew, and, of course, our Blessed Mother. And St. Teresa of Avila, she asked you to pick up your rosary and start praying the rosary, right?
Yeah, she did. I was in a city called Adelaide, and it just... It happened after one of the first major attacks I had with evil. St. Teresa appeared and started talking to me and encouraged me to pray. And she wanted me to pray the rosary. And I was saying, I don't want to pray that. There's all these prayers, Hail Marys, Our Fathers. And she insisted, you must, because it's a powerful weapon against evil. Our Blessed Mother had told me at one time that the rosary is like a chain you hang around the neck of the evil one. It breaks his grasp on you. It's so important you pray it. But anyway, when St. Teresa was asking me to pray the rosary, I made the excuse I don't have one, so I can't pray it. She said, and this was about 9:30 at night, and she said, there's a shop around the corner that sells rosaries, go and buy one. I said, no, it's 9:30 at night. The religious shops close about 5 or 6 o'clock.
Right.
She said, no, it's around, you go. So... after her keeping insisting, I went and she directs me exactly where it was, and it was open. They were doing a stock take. It was, and the nuns' sisters were running the place, and she directed me to a brown rosary, which later I discovered was the colour of her order. And then I went back to the hotel room, and she helped me and instructed me in praying the rosary. But out of my new book, actually, in the front of that is a message from St. Teresa of Avila, which I'd like to share with you from the book called For the Love of God. And this is St. Teresa. When as a child I thought of God's love, it was as if my heart would burst. As I grew, so grew my love of God, and so grew my heart. For when you grow in God, your heart also grows.
And that's why I wanted to bring up St. Teresa of Avila, because I saw that in the book, and I'm like, I have to bring up the saints. And so that that is an incredible story, but other saints have appeared to you as well, right? And I take it they continue to appear to you?
Yes, they do at various times, sometimes on their feast days, but always it's...
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah. It's always the same message, love God. That's what it's all about, love God. Sacrifice for God, sacrifice for others. Try not to think of self, think of God. And the Lord always tells me, look to the saints and follow their example. And so I try to do that. But when I look at saints and see their wonderful lives, I think, I could never be like that. Yeah. And I was just the other day, I was thinking of St. Perpetua and St. Felicity and their sacrifice, and I thought, my goodness me, that puts me to shame. Those wonderful women, what they did. How could I ever do anything like that? What wonderful, wonderful people. And the saints are great examples for all of us. And I hope that we keep our devotions to the saints and we follow the way they lived, because that's the way to heaven.
Absolutely. I'm just curious, how often do you get a visitation from a saint? Once a month, once a week?
I asked him that last year.
Yeah.
I said, when's the last time Jesus, or you spoke to God or Jesus? And he said, this morning.
Well, I every day I have the Lord speaking to me, or our Blessed Mother, and saints at various times.
Wow. I want to pick up right there when we come back. Right. Alan Ames is in studio. If you're listening out there, continue listening. We'll let you know where he's going to be here in San Antonio. Hang tight. We'll be right back in a couple of minutes. The 2026 Spring Share-a-thon is right around the corner, and our theme is the Great Reset of 26, resetting our minds in the heart of Christ. Starting Monday, March 23rd through Friday, March 27th, we'll be on the air asking for your financial support. We humbly ask that you call in at that time to make your one-time donation or monthly pledge of support. We're grateful for your generosity and pray the Lord abundantly blesses you.
Catholic talk show host Teresa Tomeo flagged a disturbing article in a teen fashion magazine promoting an explicit sex act. My first reaction? Outrage. But then my communication instincts kicked in. We must speak up. As consumers and as parents, we have the right to challenge harmful media. This article claimed to offer facts about sexual health, yet ignored moral, spiritual, and psychological consequences of sex outside of marriage. I reached out to friends. They were already writing letters to the editor. That's what active parenting looks like. We're all called to protect our children, not passively scroll past the damage. A fellow Catholic journalist told me, the world isn't changing, it's deteriorating. Voices of reason must get louder. In Proverbs, it reads, the one who loves his children is careful to discipline them. My coach's question is this, where can you use your voice to make a difference in the world today? This has been an Epiphany Insight. I'm Vanessa Denhagarmo, a communications evangelist.
Hi friends, I'm Matthew Leonard, author, speaker, and founder of The Science of Sainthood. I'm excited to join you as your keynote speaker for GRN's 19th annual Fishers of Men Benefit Dinner on Thursday, April 9th from 6:30 p.m. to 9 p.m. at the Holy Trinity Banquet Hall. I look forward to our time together as we celebrate Catholic radio on GRN in the South and Central Texas listening area. To learn more and to register, visit grnonline.com/FOM. I'll see you soon.
And we are back. Having a great conversation here with Alan Ames. I'll tell you what, this has been a great hour. I hope you are taking it in like we are here in the studio. Alan is a visionary, a mystic, and has the gift of healing. He's an author of over 20 books. His latest book, For the Love of God, you can find that on alanames.org. And I tell you, I can't wait to read this, Alan. I really can't wait. Because, you know, through the eyes of Jesus, I know you wrote that a long time ago. I read that a couple of years ago before you came on. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful author. This is, you know, you've been coming here for, you know, 20 years and here in San Antonio, or 27 years, right?
Well, I really like San Antonio because it's such a holy city, so much adoration and perpetual adoration. It's amazing. And so it strengthens me when I come here, because also I see the depth of faith here, which is really strong. And there's not many cities in the world that have that strength of faith that San Antonio has. And it's a wonderful blessing. Oh.
That's a wonderful thing to say.
Yeah, that's good to know.
Now, at the break, Ray, I'm going to put the camera on you because you had a great question that Alan liked.
So, Alan, I was going to ask you, we're Catholic, so we're all thumbs up. That sounds great. But have you ever talked to a Protestant about your gifts, your experiences? I mean, what? Because if I'm a Protestant, a good Calvinist, I'm going to be like, come on, give me a break. Yeah, I mean, what sorts of conversations have you had with Protestants?
I've had many discussions with Protestants, and usually works out pretty well. Occasionally it doesn't, but I often try to explain to them through our faith how we should all be one. And it was a very interesting, I was talking to a Protestant once, and I was saying to him, look, and this is a Protestant minister in England.
Oh, wow.
And I was saying to him, you know, when you look in the Holy Scripture, there was the temple and there was the synagogues. And a lot of people went to the synagogues to pray, to read Scripture, to worship God, to unite in love of God. And they were praying and worshipping God there. But there's only one place the sacrifice happened, and that was in the temple. And today the temple is the Catholic Church, where the sacrifice happens. Now, the Protestant churches are like the synagogues. They're full of good, holy people, but they're praying and they're reading Scripture and praising and worshipping God, but they're not having the sacrifice, and that only happens in the temple. So to come to the temple to have the sacrifice yeah. to receive God.
Yeah.
But it was interesting when I was in Darwin in the Northern Territories of Australia, and there was a Protestant minister there who was a bit doubtful to say the least, and he couldn't walk. He was paralysed in one leg and another a problem in the other leg, and they had to sort of. He came for healing anyway, even though he didn't really believe in Catholicism. He quite hated it, to say the least. But in desperation, he came up for prayers. So I prayed with him, and immediately he flew backwards. He was in the spirit on the floor, and he just laid there for 15, 20 minutes. He got up. He was completely healed. Wow. And he said, I believe he became Catholic. So thank God for that.
Wow.
What
wow.
a story. Amen. That's awesome.
Amen. Wow. That's amazing. That is amazing. I'm sure you've been responsible for converting a lot of people.
I haven't.
Oh, you haven't?
God has.
Oh, I'm sorry. My mistake. My mistake. Yep.
One of the really good ones is, I like myself, is a family member of mine through marriage. Wasn't Catholic, wasn't Protestant, wasn't anything. Actually, was involved in witchcraft and all this sort of stuff.
Oh, no.
And I was kept praying for her and talking to her and things. But, it was difficult. So one day at Mass in the cathedral in Perth, when I received the Lord, I said, Lord, at the moment the Lord touched my tongue, I offer this for her conversion to Catholicism. Now, a short while later, we got a call from her. She's in England, we're in Australia. And she said, do you know what happened a couple of weeks ago, a few weeks ago? She said, I was just standing there, all of a sudden I fell to the ground. And she said, and I saw Jesus. And she said, I saw these three spirits coming out of me, dark spirits. And there was Jesus before me telling me he loved me. And I tried to say his name, and she kept saying, all I could say was, Gee. And eventually I said, Jesus. And when I did, I was filled with such joy and peace. And so she gave all that stuff away, and she joined the church.
Wow.
And I asked, when did this happen? It happened exactly at the moment I received the Lord on the tongue and asked him to deliver her from evil. So thank God for that.
Oh, thank God. Thank God.
That's the power of the Eucharist.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
No, I do believe. I shouldn't say unbelievable because it is believable.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Amazing. Wow. And, before I touch on this, I want to remind everybody we're speaking with Alan Ames. He's here in studio. Bob, thank you for bringing Alan in here. And got Dr. Ray Lopez and his wife Stella in studio as well. And, Stella came to do a testimony for a share-a-thon, and lo and behold, she's sitting in the studio with Alan Ames. So, like many out there who are going to, be going either tonight over at St. Anthony Mary Claret or tomorrow at the Basilica of the National Shrine of the Little Flower, we talked about, that state of grace and, confession and reconciliation, and before you can receive a healing, you have to believe, right? You have to have some sort of belief that this can happen. I believe in it, and it will happen.
Well, you have to have belief and hope. And if you don't really have a strong belief, you should have a strong hope in God and trust in God. Just reach out to him. And I've seen many people who haven't believed in God, and they've come for healing, and they've been healed because he's reached out to them, because he loves those who don't love him. And the wonderful thing is that when they're healed, often they're healed spiritually as well. Mm-hmm. And so it's important we live our faith and we believe in God. And our faith, we should always remember, is to first love God above all others, above all else, above even self, and then to love others. And if we can do that in our lives, then we'll find that holiness we may seek. And of course, to love God is to love your Catholic faith, because in the Catholic faith, there is God, the presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. And so when we love our faith, love our Lord in the Eucharist, then we're loving God. And through that love of the Eucharist, the Lord will bring us into a deep love of the Father and the Holy Spirit, and then also to love our Blessed Mother and the angels and saints. So if we live our faith, if we focus on God in our faith, if we live a sacramental life, all not despairing in ourselves because we fall down and fail so much, because everyone does. I do it every day. My God, forgive me. I do it. I make terrible mistakes every day, and I wish I wouldn't. Breaks my heart. But we all do.
Yeah.
And the important thing is that we remember that God loves us. He's merciful. He's compassionate. He'll forgive us anything. And we just keep persevering, reach out to him in love and let him draw us into our Catholic faith. And in doing so, he'll draw us to heaven in his divine love, his divine self.
You know, and that was beautifully said. I want to ask you this before we run out of time. We've got about 6-7 minutes left. But, Alan, how do we achieve a good, a holy, happy life? And we touched on this a little bit, and it's really, really near and dear to my heart, and it's adoration. It starts with adoration, I believe.
Oh, adoration is wonderful, and I go often to adoration, and it's so great that we have adoration at every talk, and the Blessed Sacrament's always exposed, and the reason we have is because there is God before us, and it's God, Jesus the Lord, who's healing us. And it's an amazing thing. When I go to adoration, at times I fall asleep, and sometimes I snore, sadly, distract other people. Yeah. But I said to the Lord once, I'm coming and I keep falling asleep, and I feel like the apostles in the Garden of Gethsemane, they all fell asleep and you were suffering. And he said, it's all right. He said, if you can't fall asleep in front of your best friend, he said, where can you fall asleep?
Oh, wow.
I keep going to adoration. I keep falling asleep. But the other thing is that going to adoration, even though you may not experience it, you may sit there and actually feel nothing, but your soul is feeling it, because the grace of the presence of God is touching your heart and soul and strengthening your soul. And then that's expressed later in different ways in your life, because that strength will be there in the times of need. And it's like if you go into adoration and there is the sun before you, it's like the sun in the skies. Its rays are pouring down and touching you and giving you health and, you know, filling you with good things and bringing light into your life. There is the sun before us in adoration, pouring out his rays of light, bringing light into our lives of darkness, filling us with good things, things that we need, health of the soul, health of the mind and body. It's so important to be in the presence of Jesus in adoration so that he can pour out his love just from his presence to touch us and draw us closer to him into that union of love, that eternal union that is oneness with God.
Amen.
Ray, you and I have had this conversation.
Oh, yeah. I mean, whenever I sit in adoration, honestly, I've never felt anything. I mean, I've just, you know, I'm there and I'm peaceful. I'm at peace. I'm with Jesus, but I've never felt like, oh, well,
the reason that is because you're so holy, you don't need to feel it.
That's not the correct answer, but okay.
But no, you're still feeling. Your soul is feeling
yes,
it.
It's just exactly, that
in
exactly.
your mind and in your humanity, you're not feeling it. Yeah. But in the spiritual realm, in the mystical realm, you're feeling it. And what's happening is that grace is not only touching you, it touches those you come in contact with, and it brings goodness into their lives as well, because now you've got that grace that God's poured into you. And it's important to keep going so we can keep topped up with that grace yeah, from the presence yeah. of God.
No, and cognitively, you know, in my mind, I know that this is the right thing to do, so I, you know, keep doing it. But like I said, yeah, there's no emotional...
I can tell you this. One day you'll get a big surprise.
Okay. Oh, wow. Don't forget that. I will not forget that.
In years to come, you'll say, oh, Alan Ames said that.
I'm going to remember that.
Wow, that, and I'm glad we touched on that adoration, because you and I have had this conversation.
Oh, yeah. Because I know you're a huge fan of adoration, Gordy. One of the reasons I go to adoration so much is because of you, Gordy.
I love adoration. It's the closest I can get to him. And I speak to him. He speaks to me. And, you know, I fall asleep at night praying to him. And ever since I had a priest tell me, I was talking about dreams, bad dreams, and he said, do you sleep with a rosary under your pillow at night? I said, no, I've never thought of that, Father. He goes, start doing that. The minute I started doing that, Alan, it's like badness went away. Because he said, that's your weapon. And when you're asleep at night, you don't want anything coming in to attack you. The mother will watch you and watch over you.
And you can also offer your sleep as a prayer. I think there's in Through the Eyes of Jesus with Bartholomew, where he was always falling asleep. And the Lord said to him, look, offer your sleep to me as a prayer. And then your sleep, even in your sleeping moments, you're praying. So I do that every night.
I like that.
Well, Alan, I am just thrilled that you came on our program. You're always welcome here every year. I want to see you here every year because I get excited when you're coming on. I know our listeners out there love following wherever you go. And I want to remind everybody tonight, St. Anthony Mary Claret, he will be there. Father Jan Klock, great parish out there. It starts at 7 o'clock. With a mass, a talk, and a healing, St. Anthony Mary Claret. Tomorrow, the Basilica of the National Shrine of the Little Flower, Father Gregory Ross. I just met with him last week. And that starts tomorrow at 6 o'clock. Wednesday, he'll be at St. Jerome at 6. Thursday, St. Paul on Sutton Drive over at 6 o'clock as well. And let's see, Friday... Yeah, Thursday, St. Paul. Friday, St. Matthew, right here on Wurzbach Road. And Saturday, you'll be at St. Lawrence Catholic Church. And on Sunday, Holy Family Catholic Church. And I'm sure it's going to be wonderful. And the parish, the churches are going to be packed.
Oh, please God. And I thank God and the Archdiocese of San Antonio for allowing me to do this.
Wow, what a blessing. What Amen. A blessing it is. And Alan, thank you again so much. Bob, thank you for coordinating and bringing Alan Ames. AlanAmes.org, that's where you want to go. Lots of books out there. I think you've got more than 20 books out there, right?
Yeah, I think there's about 23.
And videos. 24. There's some great videos, too.
Oh, yeah.
Great videos.
Yeah, study up. Look into AlanAmes.org. And, you know, the other thing is I want to make sure that everybody's aware that Alan Ames is in town. So we're going to keep doing that. Go into our Facebook page and you can see the, I've got the schedule on the Facebook page, on our Facebook page, GRN South and Central TX. So thank you everybody for listening. God bless you. We love you and we'll catch you next week. Alan, thank you so much.
The family that prays together stays together. This is the Guadalupe Radio Network, radio for your soul.
The 2026 Spring Share-a-thon is right around the corner, and our theme is the Great Reset of 26, resetting our minds in the heart of Christ. Starting Monday, March 23rd through Friday, March 27th, we'll be on the air asking for your financial support. We humbly ask that you call in at that time to make your one-time donation or monthly pledge of support. We're grateful for your generosity and pray the Lord abundantly blesses you. The Guadalupe Radio Network would like to thank Dr. Lavoyger Guise and Guise Family Dental for their support of Catholic Radio in San Antonio. Guise Family Dental specializes in comprehensive family dentistry, Invisalign clear aligner therapy, dental implants, wisdom teeth extraction, and teeth whitening. Call 210-522-1777 or visit GuiseFamilyDental.com. That's G-I-E-S FamilyDental.com.
I grew up in Catholic school. I went to church every Sunday, but I still find myself with so many questions about the faith. If this sounds like you too, join me, Bailey Garland, on The Quest, a pilgrimage of faith. And let's journey together navigating different topics that we encounter as Catholics with trusted priests to guide us along the way. I invite you to call into our show with your questions and we can learn together. You can listen to The Quest live on the radio or on the free Guadalupe Radio Network app weekdays at 4 p.m. Central, 5 p.m. Eastern.
Once I grew up, I was on my own. I was basically looking for something more exciting, and so I thought the grass was greener on the other side.
I ended up having a lot of questions about my faith, and I ended up leaving the church.
I might have gone to church, you know, at Christmas time, gradually quit going.
Went through a divorce and ended up being a single parent. If I didn't have church or God, I would be back at that lonely stage, that trouble stage.
Now I'm back in the Catholic Church, and I have a relationship with God. I'm at peace, and I'm happy.
Whenever you get anxious and worry about things, you just know that Jesus has it under control.
I'm so thankful for my faith.
When you come home to the church, you're coming home to a Catholic family where people today just embrace you.
It's just amazing.
If you've been away from the Catholic Church for whatever reason, we invite you to take another look. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org today.
Thanks for listening to KJMA 89.7 Floresville, San Antonio, on the Guadalupe Radio Network in South Texas. Catholic radio for your soul. Catholic radio for your soul. Heard also streaming on grnonline.com and on your smartphone.